This is CliffCentral.com.
George Meany's here, everybody.
How's it?
George Meany, the CEO of Auto Trader. They also host a show here on CliffCentral.com called Auto Central, and it's on Monday. But before we get to that,
I'd like them to debate. Sorry, Gareth. I'd like them to debate which is the best car in South Africa.
That's tough. Hey? That is tough, because if you go by which is the most popular car, that's not necessarily the best.
Exactly. Exactly. And that goes down to exactly what they were talking about.
And if you go for the most expensive car, that's not necessarily the
best.
That's
very true.
So I don't know. I mean, Ben would be a good one to field an answer on this one.
Oh, hi, George. No, Gareth, I'm not in the last couple of months. I've lost touch.
Well, you still have your favorites.
Yeah.
What would you say the best car in South Africa is?
Debatable. If you look at popularity, probably somewhere between the VW and the Toyota Corolla.
Okay.
If you look at reliability, probably the Toyota Corolla.
Okay.
Or the Toyota.
The Toyota Uber.
Oh, the Toyota Uber. That's
yes,
also true.
That is the Toyota Uber. And whenever I see those cars now, I think it's an Uber driver.
Yeah.
But I don't think those cars are used by mistake, to be honest. They are really reliable cars.
Okay.
Car of the future, probably in this country, the Nissan Leaf.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they doing okay? Are they selling?
They're not selling very much, but they're the only mainstream electric car, you know, really that South Africa has. Okay. You know, the other electric car, the I-Pace, is not here yet. Others are exotic cars. So I think that's the only one that's going to be.
How can you mention car in South Africa without mentioning Buckies?
True.
People love Bucky.
True.
Everybody loves a Bucky.
Isuzu.
Yeah.
A very, very popular Bucky for a long, long time. Still is.
All right. So George has got a list of things for us to talk about this morning, and we always try to wrap up the week with a few thoughts that might get the petrol heads excited, but might also get the rest of us who think of motoring as part of our lives interested. So what do we got?
Well, everybody knows about the VAT increase that hit us this month.
Wasn't it great?
Oh, awesome. 1%. I mean, my opinion about tax in the country, you know, my 2 cents worth, per se.
Yeah.
Is,
it's a lot more than 2 cents you're paying, but yeah. Right.
I think, you know, VAT increases are the tax, should be the tax of the future, not employees tax, not company tax, because it is at the moment that you spend the money that everybody pays tax.
Well, I have a very smart friend who actually works for a big consulting firm in the U.S. He always proposed that we should have what we call a transaction tax, where you've charged a 2-3% transaction tax on every transaction that you take part in. So if it's a, you know, you're buying a packet of cigarettes, there's a fee on that. If you're doing a massive merger with two companies, there's a tax on that. And that seems the most equitable, because it would invariably be variable depending on the nature of that deal, transaction, and therefore would be very equitable and fair.
Exactly.
If someone is poor, they're doing small transactions.
Yes.
If someone is rich, they're doing big transactions. So everybody gets taxed. Seems like a fair way to go about it, because in that process, there's work behind the transaction, and that work is being paid for in tax.
Exactly. And that's almost like VAT. You pay the tax when you spend the money.
There we go.
When the money changes hands, that's when you pay the tax.
All right, but how does this affect us and
anyway,
our cars?
Yes, so the car industry, believe it or not, the passenger vehicle segment had a boom in March.
Wow.
And probably linked to people preempting this tax for or VAT for April, VAT increase for April, because we had a kicker month in March. Where we sold 49,233 cars for the month of March, 1.1% up from last year March. And remember, towards the end of last year, car sales were in decline.
Yeah, well, that's, you see, this is where it's sometimes they force you to buy a car because you know they're going to be more expensive
expensive. But it was also helped by a 0.25% reduction in the official interest rate in March, remember. Yeah. And then also Moody's didn't downgrade us and kept our credit rating at investment grade credit rating.
Okay. Well, we'll take it. Any increase in car sales is probably a reflection of an improvement in the economy.
Anything, yes. Sure. Well, that's the boring stuff out of the way. More interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. Have you ever disobeyed a traffic sign?
No,
yes,
no.
Lies, you liar. Goddamn liar.
And you know that...
Of course you have. Everybody has. Have you, George?
Of course everybody has. I mean, how many times have you been in a rush and that stop sign just doesn't get stopped at?
Well, especially late at night when there's no other cars and you can make sure that you're on, you know, a safe intersection to do a crossing at, and you stop and you treat it as a four-way stop even though it's a traffic light.
Yeah. Yeah, because you feel safer doing that, right?
Well, you can make any excuse you like if, if you want to break the law, but it's not necessarily right.
So linked to that, you know that this demerit system is on the table for discussion at the moment. It's an R2 bill.
Haven't they been talking about this for years?
They have. It's passed by the National Assembly last year, September, and it's now with the National Council of Provinces.
Okay.
And currently being debated in public hearings.
Okay.
But what's interesting, and this is the part that that I think is part of the heat of the debate, what's interesting is that the ETOL signs on the highways are legal traffic signs.
Yeah.
And ignoring them by not paying your bill could get you demerits on your license.
So what? Then the whole country's going to be driving with so many demerits that the whole system's going to fail just like ETOL's failed. Don't they realize this is a bad idea? Don't they realize that anything attached to ETOLs is also going to be disobeyed?
But think about this. A route to Pretoria and back from Johannesburg, you pass 5 gantries there and back. So 2 trips to Pretoria and you lose your license.
Well, that's exactly why it's unimplementable. Because they'll be arresting every other motorist on the roads. There won't be anyone left. There'll be one old granny and an Uno.
On top of that, there are 3.6 billion. There is 3.6 billion rand outstanding in ETOLs.
Yeah, it's never going to... You're never getting that money. David Makura, the Premier of Gauteng, he says this is a stupid debate. It's a pointless exercise. We've got to can ETOLs. He said that. The Premier of Gauteng. We know that the DA who run Johannesburg and Pretoria, same thing. Think it's bullshit. I think it's bullshit.
Can ETOLs. So the next thing is Google did something interesting, probably in order to get you to watch their or look at their screens or their application more, is at the beginning of April, and this wasn't an April Fool, they launched via Google Assistant, Chromebook, and Google Maps,
yeah,
a Where's Waldo initiative, where you could take part in finding Waldo on Google Maps. You can go and look now. It's still live.
Why did Google need us paying more attention to them? Aren't they such attention whores already?
They are. They are.
We don't need to be on there. Just ignore this. This is a ploy.
No, but what's when you're trying to find Waldo and...
is there
and
a guy dressed as Waldo?
Yes.
Okay.
So, well, Waldo, the little dog. And but what I'm concerned about is if you're using Google Maps to navigate and you're trying to find Waldo and drive, that's a bit dangerous.
It's like that Pokemon Go thing where people were smashing into streetlights and, and just stopping their car in the middle of the highway to catch a Pokemon Go. It's ridiculous.
Is Pokemon Go still going?
No.
No? Is it
dead? No, nobody cares anymore. It lasted 3 weeks. It had its moment. Everybody, you know, there were advertising agencies I remember having meetings with during those 3 weeks, saying, this is the future. We're putting 29% of our budget into this. Where are they now? I hope those people were fired.
And then second to last, Apple has applied for a patent to let drivers have a virtual reality experience inside a car as a passenger while driving. These patents cover VR systems from headsets to virtual screens inside the car so that your passengers can have an experience of their choosing while inside the car as a passenger. They could be hang gliding, they could be skydiving, they could be sitting on a river, on a boat in a river.
This could be dangerous. I've seen people with these VR headsets on, and sometimes they're so in it that they move forward or they move backwards or they fall to the left or they fall to the right. And if you're in a car, that could cause some injuries. You think? You've seen these. No, you've got a VR headset.
I think I don't have a VR headset. Actually, it's probably one of the only things I don't have. But yeah, that could knock the driver out. I think it's dangerous. But Apple is very well known for their patents, and they love they love registering these patents.
Do you know who's going to get this VR thing right? The porn industry. They're going to get it right first, and because they. There's most incentive.
Don't you mean the other ones have got it right?
Well, they've already got it right.
You of course, can, yeah, they were in it first.
But if you do it in VR, not in just 3D or 2D.
No, but the point is you've been doing it for like 2-3 years.
They haven't got it right yet. It's not people aren't going, this is the most incredible experience ever.
Get different friends, guys.
Oh, okay. You've got friends who say it's the best experience ever.
Chat to John T. We could... it's Friday.
All right.
People are spending a lot of money in this.
I'm telling
Asians,
you.
Asians all over it.
But that's the point. That's where all the really serious development and research is happening. Because if they can get that right, and that's kind of a real experience, everywhere else will get real.
Well, virtual reality inside a car, I don't know.
It could be fun.
It could be fun.
Especially if you're on a long, boring drive.
Yes. Durban to Joburg to Cape Town.
Yeah.
It is a long, boring drive. And then lastly, Lewis Hamilton in the Formula One is gutted. This weekend is the Bahrain Formula One Grand Prix.
Oh, yeah. I was going to get that earlier. I'm sorry if I missed that.
So he's absolutely gutted. They had apparently what is a computer glitch in one of their software programs that miscalculated the entry and exit speeds of the pit lane. And that's what they're putting it down to. But I don't think there is anything they could have done to stop Sebastian Vettel from passing Lewis Hamilton, because the safety car was out, and if Lewis Hamilton was driving at the safety car speed limit, even if the software had told them that this was going to happen, there was nothing they could do about it. Maybe bring Hamilton into the pits, but I think they're just a little bit of a sore loser.
How much of that is down to how heavily do these guys rely on that technology now?
Absolutely heavily. I think everything is electronic.
The Formula One drivers of the future are going to be gamers.
Well, I don't know. I hope
doesn't
not.
That make sense?
They
probably will
to
be.
To a certain degree, but
like
I hope
VR
not.
VR gamers.
I hope not. It already exists.
Yeah. I'm just thinking if we're so reliant on the software and the technology at the moment to be able to pull off a great drive around an actual, real-life track, it's only a matter of time before someone who has been spending every waking hour since the age of 5 gaming is going to be a much better driver than a Lewis Hamilton.
Potentially. I don't know if you can pull off the G's in VR like Hamilton and the guy's experience, but
okay.
Maybe.
Be an interesting thing to watch.
Maybe.
Very, very exciting. I love
this.
That's plenty to chew on for the weekend.
Cool.
Thank you, George. Always nice to catch up with you. There's George Meany with a look at what's going on in not just motoring, but interesting stories from all over the world.
This is CliffCentral.com.